Hey everyone, this is Scott Ferrioli from dvc-rental.com and buyandselldvc.com. There's a chill in the air coming this holiday season, and if you're thinking of coming to Disney, check out the deals section on our website. There are a bunch of great last-minute deals available. Or if you're thinking of possibly surprising your family for the holiday season, check out our resales page at buyandselldvc.com, where you can have a lifetime of Disney memories for your family at a discounted price.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by two really good friends today. I'm joined by Rick Forbes and Cassandra Callahan. Good morning. It's great to see you guys. Thank you for waking up early. I appreciate it.
Good morning.
No problem.
Yeah, Rick forced me to, so that's why I'm here so early.
Well, we threw a few times up, but this is what worked well. Got some coffee in our cups. We're ready to roll. It's a good day. It's Sunday. We've got a lot to talk about today. A lot of it involves Disney. Some of it involves the DCA. And some of it involves some practical tips for traveling to Walt Disney World. So we figured we'd throw them all together. But you'll notice that Rick and Cassandra and I are part of the DCA, the Dubs Community Alliance. That's our 501c3 charity. So the show topic and then the announcement later on and a little bit of information, it kind of all plays together today. But before we get to that, D23 just hit in Florida, and Rick's local. Rick's a local boy now, so he was there to hear some of the good stuff. But we wanted to not cover everything, because there's always a blitz of information. We just wanted to pick just two or three things that intrigued Rick and Cassandra the most. So we figured let's touch base on that as opposed to what's good in our life. So how about we go first? Cassandra, what intrigued you? What was the story amongst the 17 stories that seemed to hit over at D23. What was the story that intrigued you the most?
So one of the announcements revolved around a new addition to Magic Kingdom during a celebration of Disney Parks Experiences and Products yesterday, today, and tomorrow, hosted by Disney Parks Experiences and Products Chairman Josh Jamara. Sorry, I should have toned that down a little bit. It was
announced. You came prepared, woman. Woohoo!
It was announced that a new Pirates of the Caribbean themed lounge is coming to Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World Resort. And although I'm not like, I'm more of a mocktail kind of drinker. Pirates is probably one of our absolute favorite rides. So that is, you know, that is some of the news that I was most excited about. There's no timeline announced. There's no exact location announced. But I hope it comes to fruition and it's not, you know, just blue sky, but, I'm excited mostly about that. I imagine it's going to be very hard to get into, much like Trader Sam's.
Please tell me there's brawling and fighting like in Tortuga, like in the original, you know, Curse of the Black Pearl. Real pirate action in this
recent
lounge.
I mean, you've seen videos. I wouldn't put it past a brawl or two breaking out there.
Only if we have an Epcot family vacation meetup there.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That, and of course, with them revealing that Figment was going to begin meeting the next day.
So. He was going to try and stay vertical. This is correct.
Yes, so. He was going to. I think he's. They take an extra safety, you know, steps to ensure that he doesn't fall over as much, because it was like two in one day, I believe.
Yeah.
Bless his
heart is exactly
bless
right.
His heart.
So
they're going to have street tacos at that new place, and me and Jeremy Murray are going to get into it.
Yeah.
Now, tacos versus wraps.
Nice. Oh, okay, Rick. So people aren't aware of that behind the scenes discussion. We should probably give a little bit of back information.
I'm like, should I get into this? Because you mean like soft shells versus hard shells?
Well, hang on, there'd be a full story. This might be another episode.
Okay. Completely.
But The Pirates Lounge, you know what makes that really intriguing? It's just the addition of a bar, right? I mean, liquor moves at any of these parks in an amazing fashion, and it's a huge profit margin. But Pirates of the Caribbean, like, it goes to people's heart. It's not like, oh, this is a new attraction. Oh, let's go to Galaxy's Edge and Jakku. Of course, Star Wars. But, like, right. Pirates is like, it, like, embeds itself in your heart. Yes. So anything just, attached to yes. Pirates is like, oh, I just can't wait yeah. to see it.
Yeah.
So,
it's my favorite.
I hear you. And then if you've not seen the news, Figment meet and greet, but poor character, either the steps or the costume or the feet just wasn't working and just fell face over.
Planted. Yeah.
Oh, face planted. Yeah. Twice in the same day. Poor character. Yeah. But yeah, they're trying to fix that situation. So Rick, what do you got, buddy? What is good news from D23 that really intrigued you?
Mine is involving all the Animal Kingdom stuff. It's my favorite part.
Okay.
And they announced basically what their more concrete plans about what they want to do at Dinoland USA, okay. which was one of my favorite areas, RIP Primeval World. But they originally announced, you know, at D23 in California that they were going to do Zootopia and Moana there. Mm-hmm. But Moana is an Epcot, and they announced that they're going to be converting the Tree of Life show, Tough to Be a Bug, to Zootopia. And with the area of Dinoland USA, they're going to convert it to a Tropical Americas, which is keeping more in theme with the areas that they have, you know, Asia and Africa. I always thought Australia.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, I thought Australia would be a good audition, a good addition.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tropical Americas is a good one because it brings in an area of the world that's not represented in the parks. You know, yeah, a lot point. Of people said, you know, add a Brazil pavilion to Epcot mm-hmm. or whatever. But then, you know, this will bring in, like, possibly stuff like Costa Rica. You know, and the biological diversity in that area of the world is, you know, I think the biggest, you know, largest number of species in like one space in Costa Rica. But they're, you know, Costa Rica, Northern South America, like Colombia, which they said they're going to bring in Encanto. I don't know what they're going to do. They had a picture of Casita. So they may be doing something like that. And then Indiana Jones. So the thought is that they would be converting dinosaur to an Indiana Jones ride, which, you know, is what it is in California at Disneyland.
Yeah.
But would fit in with the coastal tropical Americas as well, because, you know, that's where the Raiders right. of the Lost Ark started out there when he was getting that little tiki statue.
Yeah. Rick, is it bad that when you're mentioning these countries, you're talking about biodiversity? And I'm thinking, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Colombia, and immediately coffee is hitting my head first. I didn't think of anything else.
I thought you were going to talk about cocaine.
Coffee. So, okay. I got to go back to one thing. You mentioned that Dinoland was one of your favorite lands. Mm-hmm. Is this correct? So, yeah. And I also want to apologize too. If you're hearing any noises behind the scenes, I have an incredibly loud basset hound that knows exactly when breakfast should be served. So, apologies for Cookie. She needs breakfast. So, if you hear songs, it's on me. Dinoland USA, tell me, what's the attraction there, Rick? Because I've tried to like it. I know Lou Mangiello did a whole story behind it and how it was important in the backstory. And I walk through it and I'm always like, meh, this is filler. And I've never really appreciated it like people appreciate it. So tell us why. What is the attraction to you besides the Boneyard, which I've always thought the Boneyard was really cool?
We've only been in the Boneyard once. So.
Okay.
But just the two rides there, you know, when we went in 2010, I think it was still Escape from Extinction, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of the rides that stuck out on our trip.
Yeah.
And then in 2017, when we went, you know, because we had that long gap, we just had so much fun, you know, riding that with all four of our kids and my mother-in-law, and, you know, on Dinosaur. I mean, she was, you know, just got done with chemotherapy, and she was like a pile of bones, you know, and I was sitting beside her. I was like holding onto her arm because I thought she's like going to get thrown out.
Okay.
It was just so much fun. And then Primeval World, it was one of our family's favorite rides. You know, it's something that we'd all ride and laugh. And then, you know, after that, I heard the story behind Dinoland USA. And it doesn't really resonate as much now because they took out Primeval World.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Primeval World was like basically a parody of the dinosaur ride. You know, because it basically had these comical.
It made fun of extinction. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you looked at the different portions of the ride, you could match it up with different, you know, different portions. But, you know, now it's a sad shell itself since they took that out. And, you know, dinosaurs, so it would need some love anyways. It needs, you know, some lighting updates because it's so dark. And
Rick, it's tired. I went through there recently and it's tired. The queue, the vents, the dirt, when you look up, you're like, yeah, this one's on its last legs as you try to walk through and say, no, it's still a good attraction. And it is a great attraction, but it definitely needs some love. So seeing Indiana Jones come there, if they do any version even close, I mean, they can't obviously replicate the massive queue that's in Disneyland, but yikes, that's maybe one of the best attractions stateside is the Indiana Jones in Disneyland.
Well, they do have a big outside queue. I mean, it goes way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they could do something to, you know, add that up and plus it up.
Well, I want to offer anybody $20 out of my wallet if you can get a picture of Rick single-handedly on Triceratops Spin as the only person in his dinosaur car. Rick alone with a mouse ears. There's $20 out of my pocket for anybody who has that. Rick, you can't do all that.
You know how easy that would be for my wife to get that picture?
I understand. Forbes family excluded.
Brandy, anyway. Make it happen. Oh, right.
Okay, whoever comes down next listening to this podcast, hit me up.
Hit up Rick. He'll meet you over there. All right. So here's our version of the show today. And we wanted to kind of accomplish two different tasks and throw them together. The first version is we wanted to talk about photography in the parks. Cassandra takes about 100 pictures an hour and then deletes about 98 of them to keep the two. But Cassandra is a photographic extraordinaire. And Rick tries, God bless him. He tries to take good pictures. Sometimes they end up blurry, sometimes they don't. But Rick's a photographer as well at heart. But what we wanted to do, Cassandra's nodding her head and said,
and he posts them is the problem. He posts them. So then we can all make fun of them.
Poor Rick. What I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about any tips you guys might have for photography, for your family, or for any landscape or scenery. And then I want to talk about cues at Walt Disney World. And if you were to go and take, if you were to imagine right now, a selfie of the family, you got your camera out, it's 3 feet from your face. Give me the cues that you think are best in terms of photogenic quality, and give me a few that are the worst. You know, I happen to, you know, think about this as we're approaching our new DCA initiative. We have a community calendar project. We still have to figure out a name for it, but we're going to actually start collecting pictures as of, well, the day if you're listening, it would be yesterday, October the 1st. We want to acquire your family pictures. And what we're going to be doing is assembling a community calendar of your Walt Disney World, your Universal, your Gatorland, but primarily Disney, your family pictures, and we're going to throw it together in a calendar. So every month you're going to flip forward and you're going to see all of your friends' families, and it's going to be like a giant scrapbook of calendar pictures of you guys on vacation. But how do we get these good pictures? You know, can I get a picture of the Callahan family, the Forbes family? We've seen them all, but what are their tips? So let's go first. Cassandra, give me like your ideas when you're trying to capture a picture of your family. Selfie, do you turn the camera? Is it landscape? What are your thoughts when you try and grab pictures of your family?
Well, so I always end up taking about 10 of them and using one because either somebody's looking the wrong direction. This always, our good friend Murray, this phrase has stuck with me forever. And now when we take photos, and especially when we're taking photos in large groups, not just our immediate family, it's find your face. You know what I mean? So we have it flipped over. You're looking at the camera, find your face. Make sure you're looking at the camera, you know. So it's always taking multiple and then just deleting the ones that didn't work, Rick, gotcha. You know. So, and then getting us close together, obviously.
What if they all don't work?
Then you don't post them.
Then you don't post them, Rick. We can't post them.
Or you try again.
Okay. Rick, okay, since you said that, give us a tip. What do you look for when you try and take a picture of the family in a selfie or something along those lines?
I look for somebody else to take the picture.
And hand it off to the wife or a stranger.
My wife or my daughter.
There you go.
Beth is an expert at selfies. So, you know, if we're all together, she's normally the one, or my wife will do it. I'm spatially challenged. I can't.
The reason I ask you this is, Rick, in your pictures of your family, you always appear like you're the most well-coiffed person. Your hair's always perfectly combed back, and you got this big old smile. And I'm like, how does Rick take such good pictures? And when I take pictures of myself, I look like Quasimodo from the freaking Hunchback of – why does Rick's pictures look better? So that's why I get so angry with these things. All right. How about landscape or portrait? You guys have a particular way that you guys like to take pictures? Do you use a straight on 90 degree angle, or do you turn the camera in an artistic fashion to kind of cover for any picture quality variance? What do you guys do there? Anything?
Traditionally, always landscape for us. Okay. And then I just crop out what I don't want.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Rick, any thoughts on that in terms of like camera angle? Yes, no, maybe so.
It depends on the size of the group. If it's, you know, just me and Brandy, you know, we'll do landscape. Okay. Or portrait, yeah, up and down. Portrait. If it's, you know, all of our family, because we have the four kids, then it's landscape and we're lucky to squeeze us all in.
Okay, I have received advice from many members of EDCOT that if you're taking the selfies, the camera goes above your head and shoots on a downward angle to avoid showing your multiple chins. as we age, you try to get the slimmest possible picture. Give us some other good stuff. What would be one other tip you'd leave me, Cassandra, Rick? Give me one more photograph tip. Do we have a flash delay? Do we turn off flash? Do we hit darkness adjustment? What do we do here?
See, this is a picture. This is a question for Callahan. I swear he captures the best photos. Maybe not of us, of surroundings, but he's got some kind of setting that I swear he takes the, you know, much better photos than I do. I'm always the picture taker of the people. So I do like portrait mode, but when you're doing that, it tends to blur out the other people, which is okay. You know, you just focus on myself. Mm-hmm. But so taking it off of portrait mode in order to focus, be able to focus on all the faces.
Okay.
No idea when it comes to settings, you know, 0.3 second delay or any of that. I have no clue.
Agreed.
Play with the filters after, adjust the brilliance, you know, that kind of stuff.
How many times am I taking a picture of landscape? I'm like, oh, this is the once in a lifetime shot. And then I end up turning the camera around. It gets my face like the close up of your forehead or your eye or something like that. Rick, one last tip. What do you got? Give us a last photography tip.
Be considerate of others.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. You know, if you're on Pirates or a ride where it's dark, don't use your flash.
Right.
When you're taking the pictures, just make sure that it's an appropriate setting.
Or don't take 20 minutes to get the perfect family photo. Holding up the queue, I think. I mean, we encountered that just recently on a trip, and we were in Navi, and, you know, it was just like the line was backing up so much. And, you know, Yeah. Understandably, you know what I mean? I'm super understandable, you know what I mean? But just be aware of your surroundings. And like sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes the candid photos are the best, and I tend to not post the candid photos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, prepare for photo bombers, because a lot of times if people will hear things that you're wanting to do, not just with selfies, but like when we, last time we read Pirates, Emma said she wanted all of us to, you know, like that. So, you know, we did that.
And make then, the heart, oh, make a heart with their hands, people.
Yeah, the whole row behind us did the same thing in the pictures because they heard her say
it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, stuff like that's fun.
Really cool. Well, Cassandra, that was a great lead. Let's get right into the other part of the show. So we're at Walt Disney World, right? We're trying to capture the best photograph possible of the family. We're struggling because everybody's looking in different directions. Nobody's smiling. It's hot. We're sweaty. We're red in the face. And we haven't got a good picture, but we're in queue now. Give us some of the cues that would... Oh, also, you know what? Another good tip too, hold that button down. Hold that shutter button down on your phone. Let it shoot it like a machine gun.
That's what the cast members do. And all of a sudden you have 100 photos on your phone. You're like, holy moly.
Take 80 in a burst. You could figure out which one that they were looking directly at the camera. But we got all these scenarios. Nothing's working. We just need some good pictures. Give us some attractions at any of the parks. Give us five. Let's go in order here. Let's go from your fifth to your number one. Of best attractions to get a good family shot.
Well,
let's go with Rick first.
I didn't know this is how we were doing this.
That's okay. It's okay. What is going to do? We're going to work on the fly. That's our show. Rick, give us number five. Give us an attraction that would be a good one, maybe not your favorite one to take pictures on.
Well, I didn't put mine in any certain order, but I'm going to say the Grand Fiesta Tour, because I can't remember if we did this, but that's where I met Bill Mitchell.
Oh, we heard the story. Yes. It was a famous meeting. Okay.
I don't think we got a selfie, but that would have been a fun one to take, you know, cause we were moving in line and stuff, but
gotcha.
I always like to take one there in front of the pictures of the Donald Duck, cause he's my favorite.
And if you get the right angle, you're capturing the courtyard, the plaza, or the volcano. You can capture all those on one good picture. So, okay. Cassandra, give us one.
All right. So working from like my least to my best and hoping Rick doesn't steal it.
Okay.
I have extras to go on.
Huh?
I have extras, so don't worry about it. You can take one of mine.
Okay. So my last one would have been the Winnie the Pooh rod, because at Magic Kingdom.
Take one of mine. Thanks.
Exactly.
It's an interactive queue, which, you know, keeps moms and dads happy because the kids have things to do. So they're overall or should be in a better mood. And again, you just have lots of places within that queue to take pictures. You have Winnie the Pooh's, you know, tree before you enter the queue. You've got Eeyore's little, you know, stick house. And then, of course, you have like Rabbit's Garden and things like that. So they just set up, you know, there's a lot of areas you could take different photos.
Good thought. Yeah, good strategy, especially keeping the kids happy, because that long, exasperated queue, there's no smiles to be had in that picture. Right?
Especially in July. No smiles.
Right. All right, Rick, give us another one.
That one was on my list, too, because it's Brandy's favorite.
There we go.
Yeah, we have to do it.
Okay.
Flight of Passage.
Nice. Lots of cool things, scientific things, right?
Well, even in the cave, you know, they have the cave paintings, which are cool.
Gotcha.
Outside, the foliage and the plants are cool. But once you get in the laboratory, there's just so much, you know, that you could take a picture of. It's like, hey, look at me. I'm with an avatar.
Rick, it's literally the answer to everybody's "Where am I?" picture, because it masks like three or four different, you know, scenarios. So you could just hit Flight of Passage. There we go. All right, Cassandra, give me one more.
So the other one of my other ones, working from the bottom to the top, would be Tower of Terror.
Ooh, good one.
Because the outside queue, you know, you have the inside and the outside queue, and so the outside queue, course, is just like this ramp leading up to the tower. But meanwhile, if you position yourself just right, you have the tower in the background. So, and then of course, when you get inside the Tower of Terror, you have this old, dusty, you know, covered in cobwebs, old Hollywood style. So your lighting does have to be right. And of course, you want to be mindful of others. So if you can make it work to where it's not intrusive, it just has a lot of props and things like that that make for a fun photo.
Awesome. That would be a really good one, especially if you caught the evening right at like sunset.
Ooh, it'd
be
yes.
Yeah, it'd be nice. All right, Rick, give me number three.
Star Tours.
Star Tours.
Specifically, okay. The Ewok Village.
Gotcha.
I've only ridden Star Tours like twice. And one time was just most recent, and it made me as sick as it did the first time. So no more Star Tours for me, but
that's one of our favorite rides.
Yeah.
As a family. The inside of the queue is great, you know, because it has C-3PO and all the droids.
Yeah.
And he's in the queue. I don't remember, but anyways, there's a lot to take in there. But my favorite part is the Ewok Village outside, because I had that playset when I was a kid. And it literally looks just like my playset did. It's just all my
20 bucks more if anyone can get me a picture of Rick as Wicket. That's what I need to see at this point. But
from when I was a kid.
The only risk you would run on the inside is get your lighting right, because it's dark background and then highly illuminated individual parts, you know, on the speeder and C-3PO and whatnot. So, but yeah, if you're a Star Wars fan, because they're all stationary, really cool to get those in the background too. Good idea. All right, Cassandra, number three.
Toy Story Midway Mania.
With the big potato head, right?
Exactly. Potato head. Rick, are you about to kill me?
No, that was one of Brandy's suggestions, but I forgot about it when I made my list. But
it's just a lot of fun. I mean, outside, you know, they have lots of, I don't know, what do you call them? Like boards, you know, just of characters leading up into like the boardwalk kind of games, and then crayons and Monopoly, and just, I mean, throughout the entire queue, and it's just bright and offers wonderful backdrops again.
Backdrops. Yeah.
And then of course you do have the interactive Mr. Potato Head. So I just think it is a very fun queue to take pictures in.
Yeah. I think that's a really good idea. Exactly. Yep. And there's the oversized backdrops makes for, you know, perfect spot there. Rick, number four.
Slinky Dog would be a good one too. It's not on my list, so.
Okay.
Expedition Everest.
Oh,
really good.
I love that queue so much. I mean, it's an attraction in and of itself.
Yes.
But so when Rick travels to Zirkazong, he gets a lot of good archaeology pictures and whatnot. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You actually feel like that's the most authentic queue you could take pictures of.
Right.
Right.
And to not to steal Rick's, but like, you know, because of course I did some homework. And I did message Jen Bachman yesterday, say, hey, we got this recording tomorrow. This is what we're talking about. What would be some of your suggestions? And of course, her favorite is Expedition Everest. She said if there was, she also joked and said the queue outside of the Tangled bathrooms, you know, when there's a line. And I was like, in Jen Bachman terms, fair, you know, yes, valid. So with Expedition Everest, obviously it's, you know, it's just completely made up of great photo opportunities, and, you know, they have authentic artifacts. Some of them are, you know, fabricated, but for the most part, you know, there's artifacts all over the queue. I mean, it's just great. The colorful flags, all that stuff.
We're still in denial about the fabricated part. We are completely immersed in believing in the story. That's where I'm just leaving it.
It's like they took a cast of my foot.
Right? I'm just leaving it right there. Was that a number four for you, Cassandra? Was
Expedition that would have been like working from the bottom to the top.
Okay.
That probably would have gone in as number two or one.
Okay. Is that the one you want to share with us? Because Rick has one more left and you'd have one more left.
Actually have two more left.
Then give us one more.
All right. So Smuggler's Run.
Nice.
And
still mine, Cassandra.
I'm sorry.
I have one more, so you're all right.
Okay, and it's probably mine. So solely for the fact of, what do they call it? Hold on. Took notes. So the queue takes you through Hondo Inaka's transport solutions before setting on board the Falcon. And then part of the view in the outside queue, you can get great shots of the Millennium Falcon. And then inside, you know, you have Hondo Inaka's stuff, I guess. But then that Dejarik table, you know, where everybody can gather around.
Yeah.
Looks like a little chess table.
Mm-hmm.
Solely for that. You know what I mean? Again, the lighting has to be right, but it would be great for everybody to pile in if they're not, if the CMs aren't off, you know, ushering you through the room.
You got to be quick. Be prepared to do that one.
Yes, that's another good photo. Prepare to be quick. No lollygagging.
Gotcha. We got one more each. Rick, share us your best.
Peter Pan's Flight. I know you said that the switchback is an awful one, which is true, but the actual queue itself, the nursery, that is a really fun place to take photos.
You know, I can't argue with that. You know, the switchback factor, I think every attraction is a switchback of some type. Every queue is of some, you know, it's just a matter of what you're looking for. So you're looking for the nursery, but is there a possible spot where you can get a, you really can't, you get a picture of the pirate ship, you know, the actual vehicle. What else would you be looking for? Just the attraction, nursery? What else would you be looking for in that queue, Rick? Signage, anything? Maybe out towards Fantasyland? What else are you looking for?
Well, no, the key's inside, so you can't really see outside into Fantasyland. And you're just like literally walking through their house. You go through the hallway and see the family photos. And when you go in the nursery, they have, you know, the three beds of the children and the Tinkerbell area.
And Nana.
Okay, I'll go with it. Cassandra, number one.
My number one, and I'm gobsmacked that Rick did not take this, but outside of Expedition Everest, Haunted Mansion would have been my number one. Because of the outside queue, not necessarily, you know, when you're piling into the stretching room or whatnot, but the outside queue has so much to offer, you know, between the mansion itself. I mean, they have photo pass photographers out there. I think after you get off the ride, I believe, but you can also position yourself to where the mansion is behind you as the backdrop. We've taken actually a couple family photos in the queue, and there's kind of a little switchback going on, not much of one, but then you have, you know, the hearse with the ghost horse and like the tombstones and the mausoleum and the pipe organ outside. So it is an interactive queue as well, but there's just so many things around you to make for a good photo.
Cool. Can I offer a few of my own here? They're going to be in order. I'm going to give you a couple. Essentially, their entirety is a queue. I would say the treehouse at the Magic Kingdom, which is essentially a queue from start to finish, offers you amazing pictures over Magic Kingdom. I'd also say the Maharaja Jungle Trek, which is essentially the same thing, but a longer version. But of attractions, I've always found Big Thunder, if you're facing away from the attraction, you get an amazing shot because you're elevated. And you can get an amazing shot onto the Rivers of America, you know, and essentially catch country bears. You know, I look for a little elevation in that. That way it kind of covers up the horde of people because every picture is going to have hordes of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. How about some really, really bad ones? Rick, give us some really bad ones. What do you got? Number one and number two for the ones you just want to pass by getting family pictures.
You want both of them at once?
Yeah, let's get them both.
Tomorrowland Speedway.
Okay.
Even though I think the ride is a great place for selfies, you know, because it's fun to sit in the car and watch your kids drive and
take
the photos. And Spaceship Earth, because there's not much of a queue.
And it's dark, right? And it's crowded. Bird.
Yeah.
It's just like a long, like, trough of people in both of those. Yeah. You know, I agreed. Cassandra, give us number one and number two on your list of ones you want to pass.
I got five, and I'm going with it. All right. Okay. But I'll just run through it really quick. Soarin', which is one of my favorite rides outside of Pirates, because it is just a long hallway of queue, and it's blue. You know what I mean? So Soarin', Space Mountain, much the same.
Mm-hmm.
long queue, tunnel, you know. Astro Orbiter, there is no queue except concrete and then getting on the elevator. Pirates, again, one of my favorite rides, but it's really dark inside. And that, wow. I inadvertently had my flash on and I took a picture and I got yelled at by the cast member. And I was like, whoa, I didn't mean to, you know. Yeah, so Pirates.
Lifetime ban, Cassandra.
Lifetime ban, you know, it's not Callahan you have to look out for, it's Cassandra. And then outside of Tomorrowland Speedway, like Rick said, Small World. And you also mentioned that, mm-hmm. Alec. You know, mm-hmm. it's just all switchback, all just hordes of people. I mean, like, if you could position yourself against the railing or across the clock, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That could work. If you just cut the people's heads off below, that wouldn't be so bad. But outside of that.
But the general structure of that queue is pile in as many as you can,
yeah.
and just keep them moving along. So in order to stop the people to take a picture of your family would be difficult in that attraction.
Yeah.
So agree. Yeah. All right. So we gave you some attractions and some ideas. So what we'd like you to do, and I'm going to hand it off to Rick and Cassandra, is look through your phone, find your favorite. And Cassandra, you mentioned something about finding your not so favorite pictures, right?
Right. I really think it would be, you know, those photos that are bloopers, but you can't delete because they're just treasures and you can always go back to them and have a good laugh. I would love to see some of those. I told Chris and Rick that we have this one at the PhotoPass studio in Disney Springs to where when Audrey was 2, she's 5 now, but we're all standing up doing like our arms out in front of the picture of the castle. And we caught Audrey like mid fall on her butt. You know what I mean? And so that's just one of the ones that we kind of can always go back to and laugh because like everybody else is looking ahead. I'm looking down at Audrey as she's falling on her bottom, kind of in mid mom. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So like, I would love to see some bloopers, any of those funny photos. Of course we want your great, you know, all smiles or just family photos that mean a lot to you, whether it be of, you know, from 1970, and includes like your grandparents or your, you know, your parents or, from attractions that are no longer there, you know, something that just holds a special part of you. We don't need, you know, I mean, we'll take all smiling photos, but we would love to see some of those little Easter eggs that we can incorporate into each month and just, you know, oh, this is a beautiful picture of, you know, the Malik family. And then, oh my gosh, look at this blurry photo of Rick's head, you know, and he shared it, you know, but we always joke with Rick about his photo, you know, photography skills. So, you know, things like that.
Okay.
Or like a screaming photo of Splash Mountain, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Expedition Everest, that kind of thing. So we would love to see that.
Let's go through some quick information pieces here then so everyone understands again. So we're going to go with, it's our next Dubs Community Alliance. It's our next DCA initiative. And essentially we're raising funds here. It's going to be a community calendar project. It's not the official name, but we have to figure out an official name still. Yeah. Started on October the 1st. Rick, best way to get pictures to the group. How do we do this?
They can either send it via direct message to me or to Cassandra, or if they would prefer to use email, maybe if they're not connected with us on Facebook or whatever, they can send it to info@dubscommunityalliance.org.
Gotcha. We don't want to make it difficult to get to pictures because we realize in the podcast world, any extra few, 3, 4, 5 steps makes things hard to acquire. So we're going to make several posts in EDCOT, in the Monorail Tales page, on the DCA page. We're going to make a bunch of posts. If you want to put your pictures in the post, if you want to direct message them to Rick, direct message them to Cassandra, if you want to send them an email, that's great. How many pictures, Cassandra, can people send in?
I was going to say 3 to 5. And we will, yep, 3 to 5 is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have one that you specifically takes precedent over others, please notate that. Again, we'll include instruction in our posts on Facebook. But we would love to have 3 to 5 depending on participation. That may be narrowed down to 2. You might get all five, but we'll make it as fair as possible. And we're going to have like a little inventory sheet and make sure everybody's included that has submitted photos.
Rick, what's the expected cost of this calendar?
Right now, we're looking at in between $20 to $25. We haven't decided on the final price yet.
Okay. And are they going to be shipped directly to people? They got a, how do we get a hold of them?
They will be shipped directly to the people. So when they, when we have the actual link to go live with the product, they will just be able to enter their personal information, their payment information, and it goes directly to them. And then once the project's over, then the funds are dispersed to us after the shipping costs are taken out and the production cost.
Outstanding. I always buy a couple calendars, one for work, one for home. And hey, even on Amazon, if you buy your calendar now for 2024, it's going to cost you 15, 20 bucks anyways. So if you're going to buy a family calendar or you need one for work or for the garage or wherever you put your calendar, you know, consider buying it from us. We are, you know, we're just trying to do as much good as we possibly can. Any last pieces of advice or last information needed on this calendar, guys? Cassandra, Rick, anything?
So I think we're going to open up, when we post about it, we're going to open up the picture acceptance for, is it a month, Rick? And then this will allow us to have calendars out before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. What was that timeline again, Rick?
Yeah, I believe we're going to close submissions on Halloween. And then the goal is to have a link up and live to order the calendar by Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So if you want to gift, you know, these calendars to all your family members, there's plenty of time.
Because your family's in the calendar.
Your family's in the calendar.
Your family's in the calendar. Outstanding. So we figured we'd have a little fun and do a little good all at the same time. All right. So look at your phone. You probably have a bunch of really good family vacation pictures. And probably some that aren't so good. Send them all to us. Send them to Rick. Send them to Cassandra. Direct message. Info at Dubs Community Alliance. Put them in the comments in our posts. Heck, send them to me and I'll forward them on if you really want to. That's no problem. So we hope we have fun with this. And then this is going to be something that we can look back for a year and just bring smiles to our face.
Right.
All right. So we appreciate you listening today. And for my friends Rick and Cassandra, I'd like to thank you. And we want to wish you a great day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye now.